very hard, as if when you're trying to regain your composure. And you know, Casper Ruud is somebody who has been here, done that, especially on clay. As he was very much below par.
He was, and that was a really below par point, I have to say, from Dida de Groot, who came into a short ball. She was in a position of authority to hammer it away, either on the offside or down the line, but she hit it straight back at Ju, and Ju then passed her, and she's got a break point for a fourth successive break in this deciding set. De Groot serving at 2-1. The return is deep to the backhand side, and that is wide from De Groot. Goodness me, nobody can hold serve at the moment, Lady E. And after an hour and 50 minutes, we still have no real indication as to who is going to emerge victorious in this one.
No, I mean, history would suggest that it's going to be De Groot, but Ju has been a very, very worthy opponent here. Nowhere near as experienced as De Groot is, matches of this level and stature, but she's been an obstinate opponent, hasn't she? And more than held her own.
Well, if somebody could hold serve, could hold them in very good stead as we head towards the business end of this one. Ju, she's missed her first serve from just in front of us. That's second serve is long by a distance as well, and that takes her double fault tally to 7. De Groot's been guilty of 11. So real area for improvement for both over the closing stages. And that's a beautiful angled return from De Groot. One of the touches of the match.
Wasn't it just? She got herself all the way round to hit that. And because she hit it on such an acute angle, Ju was just nowhere near it. De Groot just starting to reassert herself a little bit in this Ju service game. Love 30.
Going to have a fifth successive break here, Eleanor. Forehand cross court to the backhand of Ju. No real power on that. What's De Groot going to do? She's clubbed a forehand to the backhand side of her opponent. She's got another shortish ball. She hooks that down the middle of the court. Slice on the backhand from Ju. The forehand again, giving very little angle for Ju, but she's clipped a forehand that takes De Groot back behind her baseline. High backhand from her. Now a chance for Ju to attack, and it's exactly what she does. She goes down the line.
Ju resisting so far in this game, but still 15-30, still pressure from De Groot. De Groot poised, leaning forward.
Yeah. Another apology regarding the ball toss, but I think out of the corner of her eye, she can also see the way that De Groot starts to move in as the serve is about to be taken. Now, lots of stretching from both players here, and a forehand in the net from De Groot as she came across to try and thread one down the line. Two very important points here. If Ju can hold, could be a big, big moment, bearing in mind just how much De Groot is struggling on her serve right now. 2-all, 30-all, hour and 53 minutes. Absolutely nothing between these two in the women's wheelchair final. It's bubbling up into a little bit of a classic, not necessarily being full of high-quality tennis. There have been some moments of pure joy, but they're having to battle. And often that's the case, of course, when you get to a big showpiece event like this. Brad Gilbert wrote a book famously saying, winning ugly, and sometimes that's all you have to do. And it's another double fault, would you believe, Lady E?
Well, that's been an ugly feature of this match. We've seen a lot of wonderful play. We've seen some rasping winners from both players, but we've also seen some really ugly serving.
19 double faults altogether. 8 of them off the racket of Ju. Break opportunity again for De Groot. First serve has been missed. There's that tall ball girl racing across. Kneels down, facing the umpire. Second serve is in play. Backhand return down the line. Beautifully done by De Groot. Seized upon that serve. Guided the ball down the line. Another break. We've now had 5 in a row. In the deciding set, the advantage swings back, for now at least, to Didi de Groot.
Well, Happy Me says, with reference to your expensive Blackberries, Marcus, you found out what I realised when I moved back to France 6 years ago. Food is much more expensive. I'd say most things 2 to 3 times more, and not just in Paris. 20 years ago, it was cheaper in France than the UK. Then came the euro. Well, let's not open that can of worms. But yes, it's also this area where Roland Garros is. It's not a, you know, it's quite an expensive, well-to-do suburb. So I would think that shops naturally would be more expensive. And if I were a shopkeeper in this area, and I'm not saying they do this, but well, A, they'd see Marcus coming and put prices up. But also at this time of year, there's money to be made, isn't there, with lots and lots of visitors flocking to this otherwise quiet suburb of outer Paris, as Stefan was telling us. And you might be tempted to put your prices up a tiny bit.
I don't mind boosting the local economy too much.
Yes. I mean, there's a line to be drawn, isn't there?
3-2 with a break. And a backhand return cross court is going to go onto the hitting zone of de Groot's forehand, but she just misses as she goes down the line.
So if you are just joining us, and people will be joining us all the time, won't they, as various places in the world wake up, the women's singles final is at 3 p.m. local time, just under 2 hours from now. And you're currently listening to the women's wheelchair final with me, Eleanor Preston, and a slightly ailing Marcus Buckland.
And we're watching as Didi de Groot comes up with a mid-court forehand winner, going back behind Zhu. We've had a succession of breaks in the deciding set. The underdog, Zhen Zhen Zhu of China, bidding to become only the second Chinese player to win a Grand Slam title after Li Na, who picked up 2 a few years ago. But she won the first set against the 21-time champion, Didi de Groot, 6-4. Dutch pair hit back to win the second by 6-2, and she's serving now at 3-2 and 30-15 after an hour and 58 minutes of this final. Bright sunshine in Paris, good crowd on court Philippe Chatrier as well, enjoying a topsy-turvy battle that now sees Zhu net on her backhand side. And you're very good at letting us know what time people are waking up. What time is it in Australia right now, Lady E?
Oh, here we go.
Having famously told us a few days ago that Australian fans would be joining us in their numbers because it was the wake-up time. It was 2:30 in the morning. Backhand return is wide from Zhu. We have a hold of serve for the first time in this deciding set. And de Groot extends her advantage to 4-2.
Well, it's early evening. Actually, no, 21:07 in Melbourne, so not early evening unless you're a party animal.
Oh, but they're awake.
They're awake. Well, I'd hope they're awake, unless they've been listening to us and they might have drifted off, perfectly understandably. Hello if you are listening to us from Melbourne. We know that Lisa's listening to us from Bendigo in the same time zone.
And actually, I remember Bendigo now. She read a few days ago because our Courtney Walsh.
Yeah, you'd know Bendigo.
He's the S, and there's a miss by de Groot on her forehand. His team, is it Ballarat?
Yeah.
Are the arch rivals of Bendigo?
Yeah, so these are two large Victorian cities in the state of Victoria, the capital of which is Melbourne, and Ballarat and Bendigo, they're probably about an hour and a half's drive apart, maybe less, but roughly in the same region, and they've been rivals all the way along, rival sports teams, rival cities, trying to outdo each other.
The Aussies.
Both lovely. They're both lovely towns.
Who would you support in Bendigo or Ballarat?
Probably Bendigo, because I've got friends there. But I love Ballarat. It's all gold rush country. So in the Australian gold rush, these towns became very wealthy and very important.
Really good return from Didi de Groot. So it's 15 all here on the Zhu serve. She's slicing on a backhand down the middle of the court. The off forehand from de Groot is good enough to win the point. And suddenly, she's only 6 points away from yet another Grand Slam title.
And because it's Australia and people like to shorten things, Ballarat is known colloquially as the Rat.
Oh,
as
nice.
I come from the Rat. Are you heading back to the Rat? Bendigo is known as Benders.
Oh. Benders and the Rat. Backhand cross court to the forehand side of Zhu. She's gone long. She's in grave danger of being broken again, and if she is, the scene will be set for Didi de Groot to serve it out. It's glorious sunshine, beautiful sky. There are some wispy clouds, but we've been blessed in week two after all the misery that the rain and the cold caused for the first 7 days. Different world. Serve is long, going to the backhand, the formidable De Groot.
There's you again, just going into that little bag of balls, which is actually hung on the back of her wheelchair.
Oh dear.
And that looked tired, didn't
She's
it?
Double faulted.
That looked tired.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that she might be starting to fatigue a bit physically, because this has been a really grueling encounter. And De Groot has the capacity to just move opponents around like chess pieces.
Well, that was a ninth double fault for the Chinese player. So 20 altogether, and it does mean that in a moment, Dida De Groot is going to serve for the match at 5-2. Now, elsewhere in that Legends encounter on Longlin, Petkovic and Puig are about to lose the first set, I think, to Lindsay Davenport and Agnieszka Radwańska, because they are serving at 5-4, 40-15. They've got a couple of set points. Boys singles final hasn't started yet. Thomas Berkieta of Poland and Kaelin Biggin have been called. And Tokita Oda has come through in the men's wheelchair final as expected. Congratulations to the Japanese player, seeded 2. He has beaten the third seed from Argentina, Gustavo Fernandez, 7-5, 6-3. He's a remarkable player. I remember his demolition of Alfie Hewitt 12 months ago. It was one of the most effective performances I've seen from anybody.
Yeah, he is a real superstar. And the luster is growing with every Grand Slam title he picks up.
And one other latest score to bring you in the men's quad final on court 13. Well, they're into a deciding set. Guy Sasson of Israel won the first 6-2. Sam Schroeder of the Netherlands, the second seed, won the second by 6-3. They're on serve early in the third as Dida De Groot is serving for the match here, but loses the first point to an inside-in forehand winner from Zhenzhen Zhu, who has surprised us by bouncing back just when you think she's going to fall out of contention. It's asking a lot at this stage, but who knows?
Well, the serve from De Groot has been very vulnerable as she just misses another first serve there. We've talked about all the slew of double faults. I mean, Zhu has had the same issue on double faulting, but De Groot will expect the highest possible standards from herself, as well she should with her record in Grand Slams.
And now De Groot has not helped herself by hitting a forehand long, a couple of loopy balls with no pace from Zhu. A little bit of frustration perhaps for De Groot. She decided to pull the trigger. Wrong decision. 5-2, love 30. And she's missed that first serve by a mile as well. Just repositions her chair, fractionally behind her baseline. Steadies herself, turns the chair and serves another double fault. I cannot believe this. Number 12 off the De Groot racket, and 3 break back points to get one of the breaks back.
Well, double faults, they can become a habit, can't they? Just lose track of the best motion. You start to overthink it, think about what you... It ceases to become automatic, and then one double fault leads to another.
That one's okay, though. The return's down the middle. Two bounces before a forehand again finds its way to the forehand side of De Groot. The forehand cross court. De Groot's ready for that one. Changes the angle up onto the backhand side of Zhu. And she can't deal with that.
Well, that ball died on the court. Just too good from De Groot.
Still work to do, though, in this game if she is to close it out here at 15-40. Once more, the first serve. No pace on it. Ends in the bottom of the net. Second serve. Well, the second serve was deep, but it was right into the hitting zone of Zhenzhen Zhu, and she struck a beautiful backhand winner down the line. So she's got one of the breaks back here. It's impossible to predict what is going to happen. Serving for the match. De Groot is broken. But of course, Zhu is now serving to stay in the match, and that might prove to be even more of a challenge than breaking De Groot as she just did.
That's a sign that doesn't matter how many Grand Slam titles you won, how many matches you won in a row at Grand Slam level, you're still a human being. You can still have moments where you lose the rhythm on your serve, perhaps start to think about what you're about to do. Everything just plays on your mind. It's the beauty of tennis, isn't it? Played by humans.
Did you see that pigeon? Oh,
I did.
I don't know whether it contributed to another double fault second serve into the net, but a pigeon swooped down and from our angle looked perilously, I always struggle with that word, perilously close to the head of Zhu, but...
I think it might just be the angle of
yes
where we're looking at. So we're on the fifth floor, looking down slightly on the diagonal onto court, Philippe Chatrier. Beautiful shot there from Zhu.
Yeah, drop shot return from the group, but Zhu read it, came in and hammered away a forehand winner to get back to 15-all. We had a dog-stopping play earlier this week on one of the outside courts. Never seen that before. This dog appeared literally from nowhere. And the umpire in the end had to get down off her chair, get its lead and walk it off court. Find its startled owner. I still don't know who the owner was and what the dog was doing there. Never seen that before.
Well, we had a dog earlier on, didn't we, in our commentary box. Came by to see us again. Nepia.
Yes.
His owner works a few commentary boxes down from us. And Nepia is a guide dog. Beautiful dog. Came by and surprised Gigi. So if you're listening earlier, it was... I'd like to find it. If it's on the bloopers reel, that would be a good one, Stefan, where Gigi was commentating and I was watching Nepia approach. Gigi hadn't noticed that there was quite a large dog about to approach her. And halfway through a sentence, you could just see her face. Ooh!
Yeah, well, she doesn't like to be surprised, the Empress. I have to report another double fault, I'm afraid, from Zhen Zhen Zhu. Her 11th, which means it's 3-5, 15-30, and she's on a second serve here as well. It's in play. Slice backhand, cross court. That's a winner. And the serial winner brings up two championship points as a result.
That's what champions do. They find a way. It hasn't been the best performance from De Groot. It's been patchy by her incredibly high standards. And Zhu has played a significant part in that with her performance today, but now staring down the barrel of defeat.
Two championship points after 2 hours and 7 minutes. The serve is long, going to the forehand. Let's not end this with another double fault, please.
That was my thought exactly.
Another pigeon flies by, goes up towards the top of the stand, away to our right. Second serve, it's in the court. Backhand is a clean winner. And Dida De Groot, while not necessarily being at her best today, has picked up, incredibly, at the age of 27, her 22nd Grand Slam title and her fifth here at Roland Garros. She comes from a set down to win 4-6, 6-2, 6-3.
Well, not a vintage performance, perhaps, from Dida De Groot. She looks relieved as much as anything, but impressive resilience. It's as much about self-belief as it was about anything else from De Groot. Zhu played her part in what's been an engaging final. It's been a big breakthrough for her, I think, at Grand Slam level, having only ever got to one semi-final in... on a Grand Slam debut, as Marcus was saying at the Australian Open in 2020, having beaten De Groot. But hopefully she can take away this performance, her performance here at Roland Garros, use that to build on. This is a big, big year for wheelchair tennis players. Of course, we've got the four Grand Slams, but we also have the Paralympic Games, the chance to etch yourself into the history books, not just of your own sport, but of sport generally. And, as we wait to prepare for the ceremony, I think, you know, I can't help but cast my mind forward to Paralympics, and I wouldn't be surprised to see these two in the medal match.
Absolutely.
Certainly, it would be a shock if De Groot wasn't in the hunt for a medal there in singles and in doubles.
I mean, her record's extraordinary. It's her 88th title. You know, it's the 22nd at Grand Slam level. Her Roland Garros record now is 120, lost just three, and her record for 2024 is now 122 and lost just one match. A fifth title here to go with the sixth in Australia, the sixth in New York, and the five at Wimbledon. And She is only 27. She's in her prime.
Well, that's a remarkable thing, actually, when you think that she's only 27 and compiled that record already. And it's extraordinary. It defies explanation. And it is a sport that's growing in depth, wheelchair tennis. It gets tougher and tougher every year.
Ah, Stefan had been prowling around. Something, and I must confess, I was hearing our own commentary about 2 seconds after we'd spoken, which is a horrible thing anyway. And I realised I'd inadvertently turned the app on my phone on. And that's, I do a part, Stefan didn't know what was happening, but we were sort of almost in double stereo. And I could hear what you just said 3 seconds before. Thought maybe it was one of the symptoms of my cold.
Oh,
have I mentioned
yes.
my cold?
You have mentioned your cold, yes. Well, you know, Radio Roland Garros, so good we say everything twice. yes, I'm not going to take any further teasing for slight may of closing all the windows down on the laptop, if that's the sort of thing that you get up to. Honestly, I feel vindicated.
One of the stats that I've just seen from the match, the service stats aren't great, as you'd expect, but 44 winners for De Groot to 18 of Zhu. And that is the reason, primarily, why she is about to celebrate. They're getting ready for this presentation ceremony. The ball boys and the ball girls are coming back onto the court. We've got, I'd say, around about 10 or 12 photographers just standing in front of the net. There's a plinth on the service line across from them. And applause and appreciation for the fantastic job done by these ball boys and ball girls of different shapes and sizes. Amazing, actually. Have a look at how big some of them are and how tiny the smallest one is. But
well, that's teenagers for you, and that's one of the factors when you talk about junior tennis, particularly on the boys' side, is the height difference between one player and another, and they can be very similar ages. And we all know from, you know, school kids, and it's not just tennis, is it? That's just that children and young adults grow at very different paces. But yes, we do have a little bit of a, we have a range of heights, don't we? And they've very helpfully stood in height order.
Yeah.
So it goes from high to low.
Trophies coming out. The line judges as well have been arranged in height order. And now three ladies are marching out with three trophies, of course. One for the winner, one for the runner-up. And I'm assuming, is the other one for the umpire?
One would assume so. They're glinting very beautifully in the sunlight today. It's about, what do we think, about 23 degrees, something like that.
Yeah.
So low 70s if you work in Fahrenheit. Photographers are lined up at the net, so what they'll do with the photographers, and this will be similar to the ceremonies that we'll see for the singles finals. Lined up ready with the presentation party facing the photographers, facing the cameras, for the viewers watching at home.
Seront remis par Sandrine Martinet, parajudokate, championne paralympique à Rio en 2016, championne d'Europe et vice-championne du monde 2022, porte-drapeau de la délégation paralympique de Tokyo, accompagnée de Monsieur Lionel Olinger, vice-président de la Fédération française de tennis en charge de l'organisation des grands événements, et accompagnée de Monsieur Denis Machuel, CEO Monde Adeco Group, partenaire de ce tournoi en fauteuil.
Three special guests to
Nous allons
the ceremony.
Saluer l'arbitre de la
Paralympics,
Anthony Belli
from
Delini.
Other sports coming here.
And up comes the umpire. We were right, Lady E. The first trophy is for the umpire, who's still got that thing growing out of his ear.
It's a camera, in case you're wondering. So the umpires this year have been equipped with a headset camera, which is like a GoPro camera. So they can, when they're looking at
Finaliste
lines, they're able to show us what they can
see. Zenzen Zhu de la République Populaire de Chine.
Oh, she fought hard. She had the first set. She had chances in the second as well. But she'll have to wait a little longer to become only the second Chinese player to win a Grand Slam. For now, Li Na continues to hold that particular accolade for herself.
La finaliste. Tournoi féminin tennis en fauteuil Roland Garros 2024, et elle obtient son cinquième titre à Roland-Garros, le 22e en Grand Chelem au total, la Néerlandaise Tine de Groot.
De Groot, the great. She's now won 14 consecutive Grand Slam titles. That's a record. 22 altogether, 5 here in Paris.
22 total in Grand Slam.
Is conducting the ceremony, is just explaining to everybody in the crowd what a phenomenal career she has had, and now all the photographers at the net are taking pictures of Ida. Jen's joined her as well.
It's such a phenomenal record that if you're listening in the crowd, don't know much about wheelchair tennis, you perhaps might not know that much about the two players. You might think,
one
sorry,
mic.
Did he say
each,
22?
Zenzen, please, if you want to say a few words. Thank you.
Congratulations. Dida, I'm very happy to be here with you play, and thanks everybody watching my play, and thanks my team, thanks Spencer, and I think I'm very happy today. I think I play. It's okay. I think next time I need to make very hard. I need to make more hard practice. thank you.
Chichi, thank you. Merci.
See you next year.
Stay there.
Easy to make a speech in a language that isn't your first language.
Well, first of all, congratulations, Sue. You made the final, which is amazing, and then you played a very, very good match. Congrats to your team as well. You had a good week. I think for myself, I'm super proud of this win. It wasn't very easy today. I think I made it very difficult for myself. but also, I'm just very proud of keeping the streak that I have, or at least the win here, and having the record today. It's not something that is a goal of mine, but it shows that every week I'm here and I'm still here. And I keep fighting, so I'm proud of myself. I would like to thank my team. I had a full box today. My family is here. My coach is here. Thank you for the support this week. Thank you for the KNLTB, for the support at home, and my sponsors who are here as well. I would like to thank everyone. Merci beaucoup. Je suis très heureux avec cette victoire, et je suis très fière de be here. Merci à Roland Garros. This opportunity to play here, already have good preparation for the Paris Paralympic Games. They're going to be here. And I think we showed what it's going to be like. And I hope to show you all in 2 months. Thank you, Roland Garros, and thank you, everyone.
Merci, Dide. Merci beaucoup.
Well, she's going to take some stopping at the Paralympic Games. Of that, there's absolutely no doubt. She's already got one Golden Slam. That record that she was referring to, the fact now that she's won 14 consecutive Grand Slam titles, it's absolutely ridiculous. Who's going to stop her? Well, it'll take a pretty brave effort. Though she did say there, lady, that she made it hard for herself, and particularly those service stats are something she'll have a look at.
She did make it hard for herself. I think also Zhu made it hard for her. And you know, we have to give credit to the Chinese player in what was her first Grand Slam final for the way that she played. Acquitted herself pretty well and I think drew some of those double faults in the way that she returned at times. So, you know, as we said, a big breakthrough for her and charming at both of them. Zhu having to speak in English, which is, you know, she's still learning how to speak it. And the better you play for these players who don't have English as a first language, the more you have to learn English because you're more interviews you're having to do. You're having to do a speech in front of a lot of people on an enormous court in a language that is very new to you. So she did really well with that. And then fair play to Dida de Groot trying out a bit of French, and it sounded a bit like your French or my French, where you get a certain amount through a sentence and then realise you have no idea what the next word is. So there was a bit of French followed by be here.
Yeah.
And but I think that the crowd actually appreciated her trying to do it. And nice, I think, also to hear her reminding everybody that we will be back here in terms of wheelchair tennis for the Paralympic Games starting in mid-August. And that'll be interesting to watch. And as you said, she is going to take some stopping there. She's going to take some stopping anywhere.
Well, she's out in the middle of the court at the moment. The photographers are taking lots of pictures of her with the trophy. Of course, there's a winner, there's a loser, and Zhen Zhu's just at the side having a look and thinking, oh, well, that could have been me. Maybe one day it will. So, the first final on Court Philippe Chatrier has been concluded. Let me tell you that the boys' singles final is underway on Court Simon Mathieu. Thomas Berchietta and Kaelin Biggin on serve after three games. There's another Legends match about to start on Suzanne Longlen featuring Arnaud Clément and Guy Forget against Joe Wilfried Tsonga and Mats Philander. That'll be fun to watch. And the doubles final involving Alfie Hewitt and Gordon Reid should start shortly on court 14. They're the number one seeds against Miki and that man Oda of Japan, who are the number two seeds. What a match that should be. And on court 13 in the quad final, the men's quad final, it's still going into a deciding set, of course, and on serve at the moment, Guy Sasson of Israel serving at 3-4 15-30 against the second seed from the Netherlands, Sam Schroeder. Go to the app or the website for all the latest scores, the results, the features and us. And it's not too long now until the women's singles final. Iga Świątek and Jasmina, you want me to call her?
Jasmina
Paolini. Due to get underway at around about 3 o'clock. We will begin our build-up at 2:45, so in roughly an hour and 10 minutes. And in the meantime, we'll get you in the mood for that by reminding you of how exactly both players made it through to today's showpiece event.
Radio Roland-Garros.
Game, set and match.
Serve out wide. Spins back, sits up. Goff scampers and scurries to the backhand side. She's now moved to the forehand, but it's long. It is long from Goff. She looks up to Aurélie Tourte, who confirms the call. And another opportunity now for Coco Goff to get the break in this second set. Coco Gauff still going strong in the doubles with her partner Katerina Siniaková. Serve down the tee, sort of flat back off forehand from Gauff, who plays a backhand through the middle of the court. The off forehand from Świątek. Świątek, the forehand whipped cross court on the angle from Gauff, down the line from Świątek, back up the line. The squash shot cross court from Świątek, down the line from Gauff, a lofted high ball that will not find the court. Coco Gauff roars and screams, letting go of all that frustration because she has broken the serve of Iga Świątek and she leads by 3-1.
And trying to lift, I think, herself and the atmosphere, trying to get this crowd animated and behind her, raising her right hand into the air, lifting her fingers as if to say, come on, come with me on this journey, push me forward. Well, a breakthrough, finally, for Coco Gauff. Must consolidate it, though.
100%.
Must consolidate it.
Serve down the tee, the backhand thunders back, cross court on the defence from Goff, and Goff opens up the forehand and goes cross court to the forehand, cross court, they play cross court and cross court, then it's down the line and very deep for Świątek, hits the off backhand of Świątek with one, she just pummeling these balls, great defence from Goff that finally breaks down with a backhand into the net, and it's love 15.
And again we see that final shot from Coco Goff just breaking down, succumbing to the pressure. And that is not necessarily a reflection on Goff. It's also a measure of how well Świątek hits the ball, especially on this surface, time and time and time again.
Slightly distracted, the wind picked up, noises around, settles herself, reaches up now and serves, very deep serve, gets the backhand to the feet and she flicks the ball cross court, Goff, Goff goes drop shot, here comes Świątek who scoops up and slides about the pickup from Goff, the put away nearly from Świątek, and Goff did reach it, couldn't control it, and it's love 13.
So frustrating for Coco Goff, did a lot of things right in that rally, but midway through she found herself having hit a drop shot to get Świątek into the net, went to hit a lob and ended up just passing it, almost handing it back to Świątek, and from that moment on the point was lost.
Serve out wide. Oof, that came back with a little bit of venom. It's blocked back up the line. Coco Goff steps in with an off backhand winner, absorbing and redirecting the pace of the Świątek ball.
That's what we need to see more of from Coco Goff. It's a sense that if this game slips away, that could be it.
Down the tee, tried to thunder it back. Świątek looks at the strings on her racket and it's 30 all.
Otherwise that break of serve, that moment with the crowd, well, that just becomes a consolation and a pretty poor one at that.
30 all from love 30. Nets on the first serve, takes the ball from the shorts on the left hand side. Świątek on the baseline, plays the forehand. Oh my word, did she crunch that ball? It was right into her wheelhouse. The rotation on the ball, it spun off cross court on the angle for a break back point.
There are times like that where Iga Świątek looks like she has a spring-loaded arm. You hit it, it springs back at you. Such a fast motion.
Her serve is netted down the tee. Second serve is a soft serve and the backhand comes back and through the middle of the court goes Goff. And Goff with the forehand, it clips the top of the net and it goes wide. And Świątek gets this match back on serve. The immediate break back from the world number one. So we look up to the scoreboard and it reads 3-2 in favour of Goff. But we are on serve. First set, Świątek 6-2.
Almost soul-destroying for Coco Goff. Now, we know that she's resilient. We know that she will fight. She's a Grand Slam champion. She has pride. She has inner confidence. She knows that all things are possible here. But that was a body blow, you feel, to her chances of getting through this semi-final.
Yeah, you really do. Carol in Minnesota says, hoping Coco can pull herself together here. Well, she very much did because she got the break, but unfortunately just been broken out. This was sent through a few minutes ago. A lot of people weighing in on your dislike of certain foods. It's good because I normally get grief about food, so I'm quite happy for you just to take this and run with it.
Yes, I would point out my brother is quite a well-known foodie, and when he started his career writing restaurant reviews in Australia, he used to occasionally mention me. He'd take me to restaurants as the ultimate test, and he used to mention me as my fussy sister. So.
Oh, I see.
I am quite selective. I would say that.
You are.
Carol in Minnesota is very much with me. I'm so with you on the dislike of sweet savoury. Whoever started the bacon on donuts thing ought to be locked up.
I'll let you know what Lady Eleanor has for dinner tonight and how fussy she is.
I've already chosen because Chris Bowers very thoughtfully sent us the menu.
I've actually already chosen as well, I think. 2-3. Pause from Shontek before she reaches back, rocks on her heels and serves them to the box. The forehand thunders back, but it's redirected, drops over. It's brought Goff in. And Goff fires the ball past the outstretching Shontek.
I wavered on the starters, not going to lie, but I was very clear on the main course.
No, I don't think I wavered on either. But I'm a creature of habit. Love 15. 2-3. And we've been there for a few years now. Shontek serves in the middle of the box. It's sliced back and long, and it's 15 all.
And the atmosphere's gone a little flat again here in Court Philippe Chatrier, hasn't it? It lifted. Coco Gauff got that break of serve. We thought, oh, we're on here. The match is on here. Crowd got behind her. She encouraged them. Like a conductor, waving her hand, just trying to get them to get louder. That just suddenly seems like quite a long time ago. And the ball toss, just letting Iga Świątek down. We did see that a few times in earlier matches from the world number one. Struggles sometimes a little bit on the height and the rhythm with the ball toss. And she was doing it even when the roof was closed in the first week, where there was no wind, there were no external factors.
Świątek serves out wide. It is spun back down the line. Goff scampers and slides to the backhand side, but she's defending. She's at sixes and sevens. Świątek totally in control, finds the open court and takes the point.
If I were Coco Gauff, I'd be somewhat reassured to see Świątek struggling with something. So few signs of weakness. It's almost as if she'd found a flaw and is busily trying to fix that as well. I'm sure it doesn't feel like that to Świątek. I'm sure she comes off court and thinks, well, that needs to be better. I need to do that better. That's not good enough. I need to fix that. I need to work on that.
Oh, they never stop learning.
That's what tennis players are like, perfectionists to their core.
Backhand down the line from Świątek. It's loose and off-balanced from Goff. Game points for 3-3.
And it's hard to believe in lots of ways that Świątek is still only 23. I heard her interview where she was talking about this match, looking ahead and talking about the improvements that Coco Gauff had made in her game. And she sounded as though she was a veteran player talking about a young rookie.
And she's only just turned 23 during Roland Garros. What a fitting place for her, like her idol Rafa Nadal, to celebrate her birthday. To the scampering ball boys. They are back in position. We've had an hour and 10 minutes of play. Paulini, Ondrejva to come, not before 5 o'clock. And again, having a little trouble with the ball toss. The world number one. Serve out wide, back to her feet. Spins the ball down the line. Świątek gets a mid-court ball, cuts the backhand short. The stretch and the pass from Gauff.
Better from Gauff. And just a little look to her team. Just saying, yep, this is what I need to do. I'm still in this. Remember, we're on serve here. It kind of feels almost as though she's a breakdown because she surrendered the break up that she was. But we're still on serve. There are still opportunities here.
Deep body serve, back mid-court from Gauff. Gauff with the forehand netted. There's the point, the game, 3-3. Looking at the live rankings, so obviously points dropped off because she won this title last year, but just to highlight how far ahead she is, how things stand at the moment with Gauff up to number 2, Świątek has 10,475 points, Goff the closest to her, 7,988. And should Swiatek win this and go on to defend her title, Coco Gauff will still have 7,988, and Iga Swiatek will have 11,695.
My maths is not good enough to even put into words how daunting that is, but it's a chasm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's astonishing. And really, the only two anywhere near here at the moment are Gauff and Sabalenka in the 7,000s in terms of their points. Then it drops down to just under 6,000 for Rybakina, who's had a torrid time, not able to defend India Wells or Rome. And then Vondrousova down at 4,500 points. She really is in a league of her own right now, the Polish player.
Jody from the US says, if Coco wants to ever win this tournament, she has to work on her serve. You say her second serve is a weakness, but honestly, it's her inability to consistently make first serves that puts her in the awful position of having to hit the weak second serve so much. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Jody. I think they play into one another. If you miss your first serve and you're not confident in your second serve, you're going to get double faults and you're going to lose points. There are a lot of players. Serena Williams is a great example whose second serves were good enough to make it not matter if she didn't have a great serving day.
Four double faults now for Coco Gauff in this match. She gets her serve down the tee, but then it's loose on the follow-up forehand. And it is love 40. And Gauff, also I think the body language of Gauff, head down, slapping the thigh, I mean, she looks fairly distraught out there, fairly void of ideas or even hope.
Yeah, she's been on the back foot pretty much throughout this match. There was a moment there, wasn't there, a moment of hope when she broke serve, but as we said, that's a long time ago now, or at least feels like it.
Forehand cross court, triple break points for Swiatek. Hits a heavy, flat forehand. She comes for, she'll let this ball bounce, Swiatek. Hammer it out the sky. The stretch from Gauff. Hammered out the sky again from Swiatek. And there is a break to love. And that is a 4-3 with a break lead in the second set for the world number one, who looks for all the world that she's going to equal her longest ever winning run on clay, which was 18 matches, move to 20 straight matches won at Roland Garros, and book her place back in the Roland Garros final on Saturday.
Well, I'm just trying to recall Coco Gauff's results at Wimbledon last year, looking ahead beyond this match. If we assume that Iga Swiatek will continue the way she's going and this match is likely to finish fairly shortly. For Coco Gauff, in terms of that number one race, I believe she had a pretty poor...
Well, Gauff lost in the first round.
I was going to say, she had a bad Wimbledon last year.
But then went on an absolute tear through the American hardcourt series.
So looking at Wimbledon, there's an opportunity there because she does play well on grass. She has had great results and made a breakthrough really on grass in beating Venus Williams in the first round as just a 15-year-old. So she is a player who likes that surface, I think. That's an opportunity for her. I wouldn't be stunned if she, I would say, would almost be certainly one of the contenders for the Wimbledon title. She might well be my pick. So all is not lost here in terms of her year. And this is a semi-final. She knows what it's like to lose in the first round of a Grand Slam. And it is a lot better to lose in the semi-final, as much as this is going to hurt. I think that head-to-head record is going to start to punish her now, because suddenly the muscle memory of losing match after match after match to Iga Swiatek, well, that's going to make this job harder and harder with every point.
4-3 with the break. Hello. Presidential Tribune behind world number one. Serves into the centre of the box, the backhand deep from Gauff, and Gauff with the backhand down the other wing, the lofted high ball from Swiatek. Gauff will let it bounce and do the overhead from the back of the court for a winner, straight past Iga Swiatek, who did not move a muscle. Just to let you know that these sets of pie have lost Petros and Stefanos in the quarterfinals, but the positive they take to Arevalo and Pavic, but the positive they take is they have now qualified to represent Greece at the Olympics as a pair.
Well, that is a fantastic achievement, isn't it?
So a run just when they needed it, when you think the cutoff is Monday. Miss serve out wide.
But it's hard to find opportunities to play.
Yeah.
Certainly for Petros Tsitsipas.
4-3, love 15. Goff inside the baseline, thunders that ball back onto the shoelaces of Shonto, who suddenly got it, somehow got it back. Goff now with another forward, heavy, heavy ball, but it's coming back on the defence from Shonto. Goff comes forward, stretches for the ball, but another penetrating ball from the world number one down to the feet of the onrushing American.
Well, Goff not coping well when she's drawn in and has to volley successive volleys, and that is down, I think, as much as anything to the way Świątek is hitting the ball. Could not control the volley there. As Coco Gauff, we know, has qualified for the Olympics. She'll be excited about
some
that. Had to miss the Tokyo Games with COVID. So she will feel that she's got somewhat unfinished business.
Yeah, the four American women are locked in, all barring Pegula recovering from injury. A miss hit from Świątek lands in. Just missing out at the moment is Emma Navarro. Keys is in there. Collins is in there. Goff is in there. Pegula's in there. They are your four who have qualified. And into the net goes Coco Gauff, 30-15. Świątek's been upset in the men's quad singles semi-final. So Sam Schroeder, the second seed of Netherlands, he went through earlier. But Niels Vink, his country in the top seed, has lost to Guy Sasson of Israel, 6-2, 6-3. So an upset in the quad semis. And it'll be Sasson of Israel that'll face Schroeder of the Netherlands in the final. So we're piecing together things as we head into finals weekend. We had the first one earlier today, where Roger Vasselin and Laura Sigmund, the mixed doubles champions for 2024. They only got together 2 hours before the cut-off deadline for entries. Forehand down the line from Goff. Goff's forward with a backhand. She doesn't control it. It flies long. Game points for 5-3 for Iga Świątek.
Well, if you think my voice is going to give you nightmares, I shouldn't watch that volley back. Okay, Goff is... may have hit worse shots in her career, but I doubt very many of them. Just got everything wrong. I think it's a sign perhaps that her brain is starting to get a little scrambled by the scoreline, the situation, the opponent. And in the photographer pit, just a little bit of movement, a couple of people moving around.
What are they doing?
Leaving it very late and then walking very slowly out of the photo pit. What? And getting a lot of dirty looks from all the other photographers as a consequence.
Absolutely. Servette, what a time to move around. There's the cry from Świątek. She is a game away from being back in the Roland Garros final.
And we should say, the photographer's pit that we're talking about, it's about as courtside as you can get. Literally a row of roses between you and the players. So any movement among those photographers is going to disrupt play. Coco Gauff is finding herself disrupted by a rampant Iga Świątek here. This has, so far at least, played out the way the head-to-head suggested it would, the way Iga Świątek's form this year suggested it would.
Gauff serving to stay in the singles. Missed first serve. Świątek has won their last three meetings, all in straight sets. Is she going to make that four? Looks for all the world like it's going to be so. Goff with the second serve, gets it down the tee, and the backhand return, and a sliding backhand cross court from Świątek, and a backhand through the middle from Goff, the off forehand from Świątek, and then hits a forehand cross court, another forehand, this one through the middle of the court, and the forehand cross court from Goff, and it's netted from the world number one.
Better from Coco Gauff, going down the middle. It's quite a smart play. Took away Świątek's fantastic movement from her. Finding these successful tactics now is a bit like finding a great restaurant on the day before you go home on your holiday. When you've been eating sandwiches all week.
This is all sounding so familiar. Ooh, net's getting in the way, just adding to the tension.
So close to being a double fault from Coco Gauff, and we've seen a few of those in this match.
It's over to the set. Ooh, hello. Świątek just teed off on that ball.
I was so disgusted with it, she marched off as if she'd had nothing to do with it. Świątek wearing this, what I think is like a tie-dye dress, isn't it? It's blue and orange merged together. It's actually not a dress, it's shorts and a top, but it's a little twin set. White down one side, the merge of colours on the other.
Serves return winner for the world number one, who wants to get the job done. And a confirmation of the score involving a Brit in the girls' doubles quarterfinal. Disappointment for the second seeds Hannah Klugman and Mimi Xu. They've lost in straight sets to Jones and Paganetti. God, there's another Italian involved who are the fifth. He's taken over an Australian-Italian combination there. The backhand up the line from Gauff. Oof. And a frame shot from Świątek. And a couple of game points for the American.
That was like a foul ball in baseball from Świątek there. Yes, what price Italian medals in the Olympics here at Roland Garros? Got to think they've got a good chance.
Well, what price titles for this championships, let alone the Olympics? Game points. Down the tee, snap back to the feet, the forehand cross court and deeper from Gauff. And she has to hold her ground here and plays the backhand down the line. Thought about stepping in, but she stays just inside the baseline. Gauff. Gauff going toe-to-toe, Świątek, but she goes long. And the first of the game points has been saved.
And Gauff, not for the first time in this match, just finding that she can't cope with that forehand. Forehand nicely grooved. Świątek barely moving there, just hitting forehand after forehand after forehand, each with a little bit more venom on it.
Still got a game point, miss serve down the tee. An hour and 23 if you're just joining us. Iga Świątek 6-2, 5-3. Gauff serving 3-5, 40-30. Sun shining down on Philippe Chatrier. A packed Philippe Chatrier, the first of the semi-finals. Backhand cross court deep to the long from Gauff, and it's juice. Down in her haunches, struck that backhand.
Coco Gauff just dancing on her toes a little bit, trying to get a little bit of joy and self-belief back. It's been a fairly sobering and miserable experience for her today.
Serve down the tee, backhand to the middle of the court, trying to bring up another game point here. Gauff. Gauff with the forehand nets, and after an hour and 25 minutes, it is match point for the defending champion to book her place back in the Roland Garros final. Świątek asks Gauff to wait. Gauff does. Now she's ready. Got to get this first serve. Gets it. No, oh, the net. Right, I think everyone's had their say. Serve clips the net again.
Orly Tort did a great job there, didn't she? It reminded me of that bit in Austin Powers with bag of shush, bag of shush. Stefan's obviously seen the film.
Serve down the tee, back through the middle of the court. Gauff inside. This is match point. Świątek, a miss hit from Świątek, flattened out by Gauff. Gauff with the forehand and cross court deep to the spinny forehand middle of the court. The off forehand winner from Gauff, and the match point is saved.
Well, when she looks back on this match, I don't think it'll be with a smile. I don't think it'll be a happy memory for her, but she should remember moments like that. She's played at times good tennis. Świątek just coming and chatting to the umpire. They're looking up in this direction. I promise you it isn't us. Whether there are people moving.